This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy from Armature, providing software solutions for conformity assessment, standards, and policy management. Federal Tech Talk is the show that opens up the world of technology to the federal government. Every week, John speaks with public and private sector IT experts to help you understand some of the IT trends and challenges that your agency may be facing. Federal Tech Talk on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Now your host, John Gilroy.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today in the studio, we have Phil Kemmelor, Senior Manager, Enterprise Intelligence Digital Analytics at Ernst & Young. Good morning, Phil. How are you?
I'm great, John. Thanks for having me on the show again.
What a fancy pants title there. It's going to take me a half hour to say that title again. So tell me a little about your background and how you wound up at Ernst & Young and how you got this very impressive title. You must have two business cards for that title, huh?
Yeah, right. Right. So, you know, I've been doing digital, now we don't call it web analytics anymore. We call it digital analytics because,
okay.
You know, the digital, it's not just what happens on the website. It's what happens on your mobile site. It's what happens in social media. And there's a whole other, you know, bunch of types of analytics that we can talk about. We'll probably get to it. So I've been in the digital analytics space probably since the very beginning, which was in the mid-90s when I was starting to work on the website, web even at that point. And, the whole idea of making the web or the internet accountable from a business perspective was a great interest of mine. And I started working, at Bell Atlantic, and I led their web analytics efforts, helped them figure out how to use websites and how to do marketing and content development and so forth. And then I went and worked for my vendor at the time, which was NetGenesis, an early analytics vendor.
These are really early days.
These are early days.
Ben Franklin days.
I kind of call myself like the analytics dinosaur because, you know, I've been around so long.
He had a quill pen and parchment.
It's like, yeah, you know. So time moves on. I got further into the analytics space. I wrote a book in 2006 called The Executive's Guide for Website Measurement and Testing. Then I was also the lead analyst for the CMS Watch research group. Mm-hmm. And followed and wrote about web analytics vendors for them. I started working for a boutique analytics firm called Symphonic in 2007. And
S-E-M-P-H-O-N-I-C,
right. And I developed their practice here in D.C. around federal government and nonprofit. And we got acquired by Ernst & Young in April. And so I've been at Ernst & Young since then. And very exciting times as Ernst & Young is really seeing the opportunities in digital analytics.
I don't think they casually acquire companies. No, this is a very strategic, careful. Out of all the folks out there, they looked and said, there's got to be some talent there. Maybe it's everyone but Phil, but there's some talent there, and they want that skill set. And this is, I think people, maybe you were the harbinger 15, 20 years ago, but now people are saying, well, geez, we got a website. Now what?
Right. And, there's a couple of things that actually, in the federal space in particular, that have been really interesting over the last few years. I'm sure many of the folks who are listening are aware of the digital government strategy from last year, a couple of years ago, where there's really been a focus on customer satisfaction and taking a customer-centric approach to digital content. And so, you know, once that was put into effect, you know, there's really a focus now on what really reaches people who use federal government web properties, and is it really having an impact? And what I find is that there's a lot more interest within the government agencies that I've worked with and have spoken to that it's really trying to understand if the message is coming across and if the message is really affecting change. you know.
If you fire up your computer and you type in federal government website analytics, you stumble on your blog.
This is
if you're listening and trying to learn more about how to get analytics for website, whether it's a federal agency or government or state government, I mean, this is a very, very tool for everyone. And it's short, chunky bites. This one has five different punches, punch, 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 and all kinds of different ways to go. These are four or five blog entries on, you're working for a federal agency, you got to manage your website. Well, let's talk about it. And you cut it up into four different pieces. It's very, very bite-sized chunks of information there, aren't there?
Yeah. If you go onto my blog right now, which is wham.typepad.com, I just did a series of blog posts earlier in the year around web metrics for content. And actually a lot of what's in these blog posts came out of work that I did with federal government agencies.
That's why I think it's so appropriate. I mean, and if you're listening to this and there's snow on the ground, you can still go and you can type in K-E-M-E-L-O-R. You can use that as a search term. You can type in federal government website analytics or go to TypePad. But I think it's a real good, my web developers call them breadcrumbs. You know, you go to the page, you see breadcrumbs. Well, this is breadcrumbs for learning about website analytics. It's because each blog sets you up for, you want to go here, you want to go there, here's more information. You can ask a question and go back and forth. So I thought maybe later on the show we'd take take each one of these five or six topics and blow them up. I just think it's very important from a listener's perspective, when you look at digital analytics, there's one thing is that, I type in John Gilroy, where do I rank on Google? That's maybe one aspect of it. Another aspect of it is, okay, I got this website, which pages are the people maybe going to, which pages are the people not going to? And there's all kinds of different ways to slice and dice this. And I don't even know where to start. I guess I want to start maybe with this digital initiative and what's going on in the federal government. You know, when Obama comes in, he says, okay, we're going to be transparent. And then we get Stephen Todd down the White House, Stephen Reichel, and he says, okay, we're going to do the digital government. And in December of 2012, they start pounding on the table and they say, we want all websites in the federal government to use data-driven user analytics to track site performance and user satisfaction. Whew, that's about an eight-hour answer for that one, isn't it? I mean, and data-driven user analytics to track site. Well, what do you mean by performance? We can run with this for several hours, can't we?
Yeah, we could. But you know, I think what the purpose of this kind of initiative is all about is instead of just using internal priorities, or let's say what one person happens to want, you know, within the agency, and just put it out on the website, or even in mobile channels, it's important really to take a look at who the customers for the information are. And I think this is what you're seeing in federal government a lot more is taking, and that's what this initiative is about, is taking a customer-centric approach. And that's, so looking at what visitors do on the website, let's say they do gravitate towards a particular piece of content. And if you analyze that and see that, that can give you ideas for developing new services, new products, new contents on the website that people are actually going to use.
You know, this is a quote right from the blog, and I just think it's a fantastic quote. I think everyone should write it down or put it on their desk or something. As one weary content manager told me, the goal is to publish, 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 not to analyze whether anyone looks at the content or what they do with it. I mean, all of a sudden, this is a great opener. This is a great start.
Yeah. This is the thing which again, I picked this up through some of the work that I was doing in federal government, and you know, if you're a content manager on a government website, there's often not a whole lot of direction on what to do, other than just create more content, put it out on the website. And what I found is that there's often little top-down direction, top-down strategy around the web. So one of the things that the data helps you to do is help you figure out what content is looked at, what's read, what's shared. You know, now the idea of engagement around content is important, and especially on government websites. You know, you're not buying anything, but you're looking at the kinds of tasks people are completing. You know, are they filling out a form? Are they downloading a guide? Are they using like a self-service type of calculator, for instance? And you know, those are the kinds of things to measure and really understand. Do they have the desired effect? You know, are their targets set around usage and sharing and downloading? And and what kind of targets can you set around those to determine whether all the work and time that's gone into developing those elements and initiatives is really paying off?
I've done 318 interviews, and we've had lots and lots of interviews about managing the content and security and how it's organized and going to the cloud. I think the discussion today is moving on to, well, what is the effectiveness of that content and how do you measure it and how can it be citizen-focused and user-focused and get the most from the website? And let's take a little break. We come back, talk more about task completion and mission-critical content effectiveness. Boy, that's pretty important for my listeners. You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today in the studio, Phil Kemmelor, Senior Manager, Enterprise Intelligence Digital Analytics at Ernst & Young. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today in the studio, we have Phil Kemmelor, Senior Manager, Enterprise Intelligence, Digital Analytics at Ernst & Young. We're talking about federal IT professionals and their websites and what kind of tools they can use to analyze, you know, the site's effectiveness, where people are going. What are typical tools? You know, I'm cleaning out my basement and throwing out a lot of tools I haven't used in 20 years. I imagine a lot of people have figurative tools that they use and some tools they don't use. What do most federal managers use for this type of analytics, Phil?
I'm finding that from the web analytics or digital analytics perspective, Google Analytics is really becoming the tool of choice.
And typical in the commercial world, too, kind of reflects that, yeah.
Yeah, but the thing which is especially important to look at in the federal space and why Google Analytics has become so popular, aside from the fact that it's free, is that, you know, a few years ago, the restrictions around the use of persistent cookies was lifted. And now government websites, as long as they explain how they use first-party cookies, can use a tool like Google Analytics relatively easily. And so, whereas if, you know, maybe 3, 4, or 5 years ago, most government sites were using a tool like WebTrends, which was basically a log file analysis tool, now they're using Google Analytics, which is a different data collection method where, you know, it's based on using JavaScript tags to capture data. And also the instead of having to have an on-site or, you know, a licensed version of an analytics tool like WebTrends, you know, Google Analytics is hosted in the cloud. So, you know, from a capital expense perspective, it's just a much less, you know, less intensive tool to use.
And the four-letter word free applies here too, doesn't it? There's something to appeal there.
Free is good, yeah. And that seems to be what's really driving the push. There are there are other tools that use the same kinds of technology, such as Adobe Omniture Site Catalyst. That's a much more heavy-duty tool. You can do a lot more with it. But, you know, based on the fact that budgets are pretty tight, Google Analytics has really emerged as the tool of choice.
So in the commercial world, if I have a website, I want someone to buy shoes from me or maybe register for an event, maybe give me some money like the Red Cross, sign up for a newsletter, download a SlideShare or something. And so in the commercial world, there's very, very specific ways that we can measure. I mean, we know exactly what's going on my website every day, every minute, who's where, why they're doing it, and everything else. Now, with the federal government, they have different – do they want, you know, content viewing? Is that a goal? I mean, they have different goals in the commercial world, don't they?
Yeah, they do. I mean, most of the, if you look in the commercial world, you know, because a lot of it's tied to revenue, there's revenue generation events. Someone is subscribing for a paid service. Someone is making a purchase. And certainly in the government, it's not like that. However, what I think is important to realize is there are still goals. There's still certain tasks that you want someone to complete on the website. And these are associated with generally the mission of the agency. So it's important not to lose sight of that. I do run in quite often the kind of attitude, it's like, well, the only goal that we really have for visitors on our site is to read content. And that's really, in my opinion, somewhat of a cop-out, because there needs to be content on the site. And there's definitely a difference in content on the site, importance of the content on the site, that's really related to mission. It also relates to specific tasks that are put on the site. So for example, if you want someone to sign up for a newsletter, that's a task. If you spent a lot of money and time creating, let's say, a calculator that figures out what your costs might be for a particular service, that's a task. Completing the calculator. If you want someone to fill out a form, for instance, or an application, that's a task that's of importance. So really directing your measurement towards this task completion is what I think is the very minimum goal that you should be looking at in terms of measurement. Shouldn't be like page views, the number of page views. Shouldn't be like the global number of tasks of visitors. It really should be centered around the top tasks, selecting the top tasks and then measuring the top tasks. Going beyond that is setting goals. How many, what's good? How many task completions do you consider good, bad, or not? So setting the targets is important. I find that most federal managers do not look at targets at all. They look at trends, which is helpful, but it doesn't really associate with what's, how to actually improve on anything.
And federal IT professionals aren't sitting on an island somewhere. I mean, if you look at healthcare organizations, they have content they want people to read to make sure that they do things safely. Nonprofits, American Heart Association, American College of Cardiology, they have goals that are not specifically financial as well. There are corporate intranets. I mean, I worked for Exxon when I was a young man, and I'm sure they have some kind of an intranet, and they have to measure their effectiveness of their content as well. So I don't think, when a federal IT professional looks at measuring and the effectiveness of their website, they're not an island. There's other people that have the same kind of problems.
Right. The other thing too is, when you're looking at task completion, if let's say there's been a lot of money spent on a particular application, let's say it is a calculator of some kind, and it's buried in the under four levels of navigation and people can't get to it, just being able to understand, let's say, the reasons why people can't get to the specific application and can't complete it. This is very helpful in figuring out how to promote this application more effectively, maybe change the navigation on the site in order to enable folks to get to it more easily. So these are all the kinds of things you want to look at with metrics associated with task completion.
So if your agency has a purpose and they have content that they want citizens to look at, that's probably number one. Closely affiliated, that must be navigation to that content itself. I mean, how can you measure that? You have to eliminate the home pages, the portal pages, the search engines, but you have to figure out, okay, if this is what I want, if it's vaccines.gov and I want my viewers to take away 3 points from here, they have to go find it first.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, one of the metrics that I had recommended was this task completion effectiveness metric. And the idea of creating a metric like this is to just get an understanding of how many people actually are going and completing the site tasks versus just reading content. So it's a really fairly simple metric, just calculating the total number of task completion page views divided by the total number of site page views. So you just get it's kind of like a general health report. I mean, in my opinion, you want a higher percentage of task completion versus just page readership. And if you see this as a low number, then it can start getting you to think about, okay, well, how can we improve the user experience? How can we improve the customer satisfaction in order to raise the number of task completions?
And if you have to come up with a report at the end of the next quarter talking about user analytics and your website, maybe that is a good place to start would be, are visitors using important content? If they are, yes. Can they find it? And this is a real nice checklist on, so what is the content and how can an individual agency determine what the important content is? I guess, what is the mission critical content for an agency, which is the next step? Okay, read the, who assigns, what is the important stuff?
Right. And any agency I've gone into, when I say, okay, so what are your goals? And say, well, it's our mission. And they point to the mission statement on the website. And it's like, okay, well, that's great. But the next step is, what actual elements on the website relate to those goals? And some agencies have a fairly clear idea of what kind of content on their website actually relates to those goals. So it's even looking at the mission, I call mission critical content, and seeing how that's accessed versus content that may not be so mission critical.
And you have tools that can actually determine that. We're going to have to take a break. When we come back, we'll talk about more using data-driven user analytics to track your website and more on digital analytics. You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, Phil Kemmelor, Senior Manager, Enterprise Intelligence Digital Analytics at Ernst & Young. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today in the studio, we have Phil Kemmelor, Senior Manager, Enterprise Intelligence Digital Analytics at Ernst & Young, talking about digital analytics in the federal government. Many of my listeners listen. Some listen 6 months after the interview. Some people read blogs. If you want to find my blog, I'll be blogging about this. You go to Google, type in John Gilroy blog, and I know you have a blog and other ways that you communicate with listeners. How else do you do it, Phil?
Sure. So I have the blog, which I've had for years. That's called WAM, WAM.typepad.com. The WAM stands for Web Analytics Management. And I've got lots of different articles and posts there, a lot of it having to do with federal government specifically. I've also recently started writing a monthly column for an online news service, which some of you may be familiar with, called CMS Wire. So if you go to www.cmswire.com, you'll find I have a monthly article, usually posts the first week of the month. And lately I've been focusing on topics around digital analytics governance, like how to staff a digital analytics team, the kinds of more process-oriented topics that you might want to look at if you're thinking about trying to make your team more effective and see how you can kind of integrate digital analytics into the digital application, digital channel process.
Yeah, because it could be people are listening, they're going to sit in with their boss, and their boss is going to say, why are the visits down to the website at agency XYZ? Well, why do they abandon the website? Why do they bounce? Why are the bounce rates so high? And I think this is a great insight on how to develop metrics and how to figure out what's going on. Because the way I look at it is that the federal government is telling you where to end up, but it's not telling you how to get there. It's saying, okay, we want you to improve the experience and then do it on your own. I think your blog and I think your articles can give them some guidelines, I call them pylons or targets to after and focus on. Mm-hmm. Tell us about segmentation. You know, in email marketing, they talk about segmenting targets and target lists and everything else. But you can segment people who visit websites too, can't you?
Yeah, and this is something that seems to be lost in a lot of not just government but commercial world as well. Where, you know, I like to say that there's a little bit of a deception. When you get the reports out of most web analytic tools, it's, you know, they just have these very high level metrics on visitors, visits, and page views. But the thing that I really like to stress with all of the companies and agencies that I work with is that you can segment your audience based on their behavior. I want to make it clear that this has nothing to do with personal identifiable information. You can create segments to learn a lot more about your audiences by using different filters that are in the, you know, that are within the web analytics software. So one of the ones that I like to use a lot and talk to clients about is just using a segment on first time and repeat visitors.
That's great. You know, where do they go?
It's especially if you have a certain type of content that you expect people to look at over and over again, or certain part of your website that you're not really expecting people to look at over and over again, or if you have new acquisition campaigns or outreach campaigns, you want to understand how many people are coming here for the first time, how many people have been here before. The other type of segmentation that's really valuable and also very easy to do within the analytics tools is geolocation. All the analytics tools break out where visitors come from. So what this is really helpful is that if you're running an outreach campaign to a certain part of the country on a, during a certain point time of year, you can actually focus in on that particular group to see whether or not that that outreach campaign is, has had an impact.
If there's a hurricane, you may have some information on hurricane. You can say, well, how many people actually got information and where did they come from?
Exactly. The other thing that's you know, getting beyond the geolocation and then the visitor frequency or visitor cycles is looking at what visitors gravitate to on the website. So if they happen to, and you know, the thing is about most government websites, they actually do a pretty good job of categorizing content. Let's say, like, this content's really going to be good for professionals. This content's going to be really good for you know, the general citizenry. This content's going to be good for teachers and so forth. And so another way you can determine whether this content is effective is by looking at the domains. You know, are they from a specific .edu, a specific .com, a specific .org? And you get a sense as to if you're reaching the people that you want to reach with the content and applications. And so when you develop reports and you get beyond this, like, overall page views, visits, and visitor numbers, you can really see things at a far more discrete, granular level that then will give you guidance into understanding whether the content is popular, is being shared by the right folks you want them who you want to have it shared. If they're finding it, you also find that, let's say, from your search engine optimization efforts, are people coming in on certain keywords? Or are they coming into the site on certain keywords and not finding what they're looking for or finding what they're looking for?
I was thinking of Hurricane Sandy, but it's not a hurricane. It was a tropical storm. And what keyword is used to find information at FEMA? I mean, that would be an obvious use of analytics is, okay, let's take a look what happened last year. Who typed in what to get information, how we can serve. And the idea here is to serve the citizens better through analytics.
Yeah. I mean, I know one agency that, you know, for the swine flu, you know, the official name was H1N1. And so they were looking at, like, well, how come no one's searching on H1N1?
Yeah.
And that's, but all of the site content was based on H1N1. They made the change to, you know, swine flu, because that was the more popular name. And then they saw people really starting to come in to their website on that term and going to the content and to help them find out information about vaccinations and so forth.
That goes back to big divisions. One is an external of what search terms are they using to find your site, to the internal is, okay, no one's reading this page. Why should I even have it on my website? Or this page is very popular and it's shared. And so from a content distribution perspective, it's interesting enough to be shared. And why is it? And could we do more of that?
Yeah, exactly. The idea of, and I think there's a distinction here too, between, like, the idea of doing reports that you get on an ongoing basis and then actually doing analysis into the data. When most people that I speak to, both in the commercial space and in the government space, they think of analytics as something, I'm going to get a dashboard, I'm going to get a report on a monthly basis, and that's all I'm going to need. And what I'd like to stress and educate folks about is that, yeah, a report will give you, like, a high level understanding about what's working and what's not working, but you often have to go deeper into the data. Let's say take a quarter's worth of data or a year's worth of data to really understand deeper trends, let's say, about where people are getting lost on the website, how come they're not finding what they're looking for. And then I say too, it's not just the digital analytics, but you also want to pair this with some qualitative feedback, which you can get from voice of customer surveys or a lot of government agencies use 4C surveys. They kind of give you a more why something is happening as opposed to what something is happening. And also a lot of agencies do user experience testing, another good way to complement the digital analytics. I like to stress that, you know, you shouldn't just be using one kind of analytics technique. That's only going to give you one part of the picture. You need to triangulate between the digital data, the user feedback data, and then some of the user experience testing, showing and we actually see how people navigate a website.
Well, the example of the swine flu is perfect for that. You know, how would you know if you had a website for H1N1 and no one visited it? You would think you're a miserable failure and you wouldn't be valuable. However, if you're open-minded and try to just look at it analytically, qualitatively and quantitatively, well, then it opens up a whole new world.
Absolutely.
Let's take a little break when we come back. Talk more about social media and Twitter feeds. And I like the idea of comparing qualitative versus quantitative evaluations of digital information you can get on your website. You're listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today in the studio is Phil Kemmelor, Senior Manager, Enterprise Intelligence, Digital Analytics at Ernst & Young. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today in the studio we have Phil Kemmelor, Senior Manager, Enterprise Intelligence, Digital Analytics at Ernst & Young. We're talking about digital analytics and how federal IT professionals can look at their websites and try to generate information that they can use. They can comply with federal mandates to use data-driven user analytics to track site performance and user satisfaction. The user is you and me, and I'm maybe the people who are designing this for users as well. A lot of my listeners don't read blogs, but they tweet a lot. Do you have a Twitter handle, Phil, or anyone you follow?
I do have a Twitter handle. It's at Phil Kemmelor, and
P-H-I-L-K-E-M-E-L-O-R.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Yeah, I mean, I have to say I'm not an active, real active. I tweet when there's something interesting. I'll tweet when I have a new blog post come out, or if I'm speaking at a conference, or, you know, as you saw the other day, I just harvested my first crop of garlic, so that was exciting. And so I mix it up a little bit. So, yeah, but you can follow me at @PHILKEMELOR.
And I'll be tweeting about this interview. You can find me at Ray Gilray. It's real simple to find, at Ray Gilray. You know, I was telling you the break that listeners listen to your voice going, well, he seems to be calm and real kind of analytical, and he does analytics. And geez, I wonder what kind of phone he uses. So what I do is every guest has to go through this 10-question test. So I'm going to subject it to you as well, Phil. So first question is, how old were you when you bought your first PC? No laughing.
Oh boy. I was probably in my 30s or something like
boy,
that.
Boy, you're losing nerd points for my friend. You're losing nerd points.
If I actually tell you how old I am.
Okay. I'll ask you the question here, okay. When did you buy your first cell phone? We'll put it that way.
When it was probably in the I don't know, mid-2000s or something.
You are sinking quickly. Listeners are really shocked. They're not going to believe a word you're going to say.
Yeah, I know. It's like, I know. You see, I definitely have kind of I got my professional analytics geeky thing going on, but then when I'm not in my professional analytics
you're growing
geeky
garlic.
Thing, I'm growing garlics and riding bikes. So, you know.
So we know you have a personal Twitter.
Yeah.
And do you have you have a company. You have both. You have a blog as well.
Yeah.
And do you use any personal online backup services?
Well, I like using Box.net. That's been a pretty good one.
What kind of smartphone do you have?
An iPhone 5.
Okay. And how many apps on that bad boy?
I don't know. I don't really keep count. But the kind of apps that I tend to use the most are the, you know, navigation apps, the ones having to do with, you know, checking my airline flights, you know, wanting to see if they're on time. And, New York Times and, of course, ESPN.
I used to ask people if they had a tablet. Now I ask, well, how many tablets do you have in your house?
Okay, well, here, my nerd points are going to sink through the floor because I don't have any tablets.
Boy, you're in really big trouble here. We may have to erase this whole interview, Phil. Take away your degree and everything, you know? And what social networking sites are you active in?
I'm really most active in LinkedIn.
Okay. And the last book you read, was it electronic or paper?
Well, I think you probably know the answer to that one already. It's paper.
Okay, we'll have the engineers just erase this. Oh, sorry, Phil. We had a problem with the interview here. It got accidentally erased. Boy, this is a low ranking out of 318 interviews. This is pretty low. Well, I don't know. Have you ever seen a website? Do you know about Al Gore's web? He invented this web, okay? Let's start from the beginning. Al Gore had this idea.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, that's the thing. You know, I have to say, I've been around the internet since it was pretty much out there in 93. So I've been able to track along a little bit more quickly professionally than than personally.
And I think there's a lot to be said for unplugging and not worrying about the latest tweet or the latest blog post. You know, we could go a deep dive into so many different topics here. We can talk about mission. We can talk about consolidation of websites, page views. We can talk about sitemaps. There's too many ways to go. But I think the bottom line is in a commercial organization, there's going to be a champion. There's going to be a leader who's going to say, I want to make more money for the company with the website, and this is what we're going to do. And they'll start pounding on tables, and they'll get things done. Now, in the federal government, the different requirements, a different way to be evaluated, and they get bonuses based on different criteria, and how can you better serve citizens. And so, but there usually is a human factor here. Some human has to stand up on a table and start screaming, huh?
Yeah, I think that's really important. You know, in the commercial world, where I also do a lot of work, there's usually, you know, at the C-level, there's a chief marketing officer. And you tend to see that the whole digital initiative tends to fall under that person's bailiwick. And so, you know, digital strategy comes out of that. And of course, you know, digital analytics comes, you know, even after that. But you can't really have good digital analytics unless there's a good digital strategy, good digital governance. In the government space, I don't really see that kind of focus. I mean, there's generally there is no chief marketing officer. So who at the C level then really should be leading the direction? And I find it tends to be more in the CIO space, but the CIO tends not to really be thinking about the web or the digital channel in quite the same way as a marketing person. I mean, and the CIO would think of it more, you know, from a hardware perspective, cost perspective, things like that. It's just a matter of, you know, being more concerned about things like security, operation.
And
you know,
it's their
uptime.
Job. They should be. Right.
So you have this kind of gap in the federal space that doesn't just affect analytics, but affects web governance, web strategy, you know, even looking at what should be on the web instead of leaving it to a lot of kind of fragmented decision making. There really isn't a top down driver, which I think would really help.
But, you know, in other organizations, like healthcare organizations, I'm familiar with those, nonprofits, you know, this town has over 3,000 associations and societies. I mean, you know, the American Red Cross may have a chief marketing officer, but many of the associations, like the American College of Cardiology, they don't have a chief marketing officer, yet they have responsive design, and they are interested in exactly the digital analytics to make sure they're serving their target population.
Yeah. Well, again, I think, you know, this comes down to, I think, the revenue and income driver that even a nonprofit has. I mean, nonprofits need members to continue to become members. They need to get, they often rely on donors and so forth for a lot of their revenue. And you don't have that kind of driver in the government space in quite the same way. I mean, the economic drivers in the government space around digital are really more around cost savings than anything else, that in terms of making compelling return on investment argument. Of course, analytics can help here. Analytics can, you can develop analytics that you can map back to how much time are people spending on creating, say, social media applications, or how much time are they spending on the latest, new self-serving application that you put on your website. I think the value add for analytics and looking at it from the money perspective is looking at, are you saving time by putting something on the website versus having, are you also serving your customers better by having something they can do on the website versus downloading something, faxing a hard copy to someone, and then asking someone in an office somewhere to process it? So I would suggest that there should be more of a focus on looking at digital analytics as a way to figure out options for saving labor costs and budget.
And are you optimistic in the next 5 years federal agencies will catch on? Do you think it's just something that's going to be taken for granted? What do you think is going to happen in the next 5 years as far as digital analytics and federal agencies?
I think what we're going to see is as more folks who get into federal agencies who are more attuned to digital and the digital channel and digital media and are also coming from different, let's say, have different work experience prior to getting into federal government, that they are a little more attuned to seeing digital as a channel that can be more productive. And so I'm looking forward to those folks driving change at the lower and middle management levels. And I think also as you start to see more change at the top in executive positions in federal government, we'll see more enlightened folks who see digital as a real strategic initiative.
I hate to use the phrase digital natives, but the agency is going to be swarmed with digital natives. So is every organization in the United States. Old geezers like me are going to be put on the farm, and this is going to be more and more part of their life. They're going to expect it, and they're going to embrace it. And I think that's going to happen over the next 5 to 6 years. But hey, all we can do is sit back and put our feet up on the table, smoke a cigar, and see what will happen here, huh?
There you go.
Well, we're not going to smoke any cigars. We're going to have to take a break here. You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'd like to thank my guest, Philip Kemmelor, Senior Manager, Enterprise Intelligence Digital Analytics at Ernst & Young. Thanks, Phil.
Thank you, John. Always good to talk.
You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of the Armature Corporation, providing consulting, application development, and business productivity solutions on the Microsoft platform. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Federal Tech Talk, Tuesday mornings at 11, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM, your source for federal news now.